Since you turned the tables on me, I've been steady learning lonely, keeping this turntable spinning. Everything from Jones to Jennings, slowly planning my survival in a 3-foot stack of vinyl. Since you had to walk out of here, I've been having a record year. I bet you thought before you left, I'd just sit in silence by myself, turn this house into jail, dying slow and living hell. But love's got a funny way of keeping score, and you're leaving lit up my scoreboard. I usually make it through Saturday sober. All bets are off when I flip her over. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer, I'm having a record year. Quarter notes and Hank's halftime, pounding on this heart of mine.
Hi there, and welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Ballingy. We are presented by BetDSI.com. If you want to get a hold of me on Twitter, you can do so at Ryan Ballingy. You can also get a hold of Golf News Net on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at the handle Golf News Net. Find all of our work on golfnewsnet.com or in the new GNN app for Apple and Android devices. And you can find most of my work over at Yahoo Sports' Devil Ball Golf blog on sports.yahoo.com. As I said, we're presented by BetDSI.com. We use all of their odds every single week in our now expanded PGA Tour and European Tour odds post, since we have now expanded our fantasy coverage to include European Tour picks every week. Lucky you, or lucky us, or lucky everybody, who knows. But we love DSI.com's their weekly odds because it gives you a good sense of how the money moves, who's putting money where, and how the odds change in relationship to that money movement. We're also brought to you by our friends at GolfKnickers.com. Make your next golf outing a memorable one with Golf Knickers from GolfKnickers.com. Whether you're playing in a weekend foursome or suiting an entire team for an upcoming tournament, GolfKnickers.com has a vast selection of traditional golf knickers, Argyle socks, newsboy-style golf caps, and sweater vests to fit your and my needs. Check out their selection at GolfKnickers.com and make your next golf outing the most memorable it can be. Use the promo code GOLFNEWS to receive 10% off your first purchase. We didn't do a show last week. I was actually on the road at a family wedding in Tennessee, spent some time in Crossville, which if you are a golf aficionado, you would know that it is the golf capital of Tennessee, and have some in-laws there. Love spending time with them. We had a killer pig roast, an amazing golf tournament on Friday, a wonderful wedding on Saturday, some fun on Sunday. Then we made our way to the Greenbrier for Sunday night and Monday night, spent some time there Tuesday as well for their tournament media day. We had the opportunity to play the Old White TPC, a CB McDonald absolute gem. I'd never played it before. I'd been there once before to check out the property and see the golf course, but I'd never played it. I had so much fun playing that golf course. It is a unique test in terms of the architecture, and I never really thought about playing many CB McDonald courses, but the way that he used bunkering to basically create visual intimidation, the kind of divide up parts of the fairway, divide up what is effectively a flat valley course into a fascinating test from tee to green, and then the green complexes vary so dramatically from hole to hole. They are wonderful, and they really fit the nature of each hole very well. I loved playing the golf course, and hopefully that means that my takeaway is similar to that of PGA Tour players who go there every year for the Greenbrier Classic. So we have some video up on our website, some time we spent with the Pro Emeritus there, who's Lee Trevino, and some other stuff from our time there. You can find that on our Facebook page and on our website, too. Obviously, we missed talking about the big news of last week, which was the PGA Tour's decision to move the World Golf Championships event that had been at Doral and had been known as the Cadillac Championship, moving it to Mexico City in a tournament that really doesn't yet have a name but is currently dubbed the WGC Mexico Championship. And the announcement was largely spurred on by the fact that Donald Trump kind of casually led on that that basically this change was coming. He was speaking on Sean Hannity's television show on Fox News, and he kind of blurted out, well, hey, the PGA Tour is leaving Doral. I own Doral. They're going to Mexico City, and just kind of said it in passing. And obviously that left the PGA Tour in an awkward situation because they hadn't acknowledged it publicly yet. It's clear they had not been done with the deal yet. And I think that they kind of rushed this together the next day and were like, all right, well, we've got to say one thing or the other. We either have to acknowledge the fact that Trump is right and this thing is moving, or we deny it. Obviously, they weren't denying it. This is what they were planning to do. And so they put a statement out there, hey, we're going to move this thing. We are moving it to Mexico City. We don't have a venue yet. We don't have a name for it. We do have a sponsor, but we don't have a title sponsor. It's Grupo Salinas. It's this conglomerate group of a number of companies, and these two brothers want to front the money, and they're going to pay a boatload of money to bring the WGC to Mexico City, and we'll all work out the rest of the details, like security, and make sure people don't get kidnapped in hotels and all that crap, but we're doing this, and we'll have more to tell you. And then Tim Finchem comes out at the Memorial Tournament, and he really has to do this. I mean, he's got to go out there and talk about it because of this dust-up, and says, look, Cadillac just didn't want to pony up the money, and so we moved it. We got a new sponsor, and we got the hell out of Trump Doral. And basically said that Trump's brand is a big one, which I understand that sentiment. It is a big brand, and he is a big personality. Like him or not, he is a big personality. So he commands a lot of the attention when a tournament is there. And if that's the case, then what kind of attention does the title sponsor get competing with the Trump brand and the Trump host and everything about Trump being at Doral? And so the other part of this, based on reporting from guys like Tim Rosefort and a couple of others, it was money. I mean, it was money. And to have Cadillac basically say, we'd like to pay about the same amount of money to run this tournament, $8 to $10 million, maybe $10 to $12 million, somewhere in that range. Let's guess $10 million to put on the WGC every year. We would keep it at Doral. We keep doing things the way that we are. And Finchem said, that's not good enough. I want more money. I want more money. I want $12 million, $14 million, $16 million. And obviously Cadillac isn't going to put up that money. They're just not going to do it. Why would they? They're getting the deal from 8 to 10, and that was still pretty high for a tournament that didn't get a lot of local support because the ticket prices had been raised so steeply on a golf course that the players didn't necessarily really like because they think that Gil Hanse, his redesign, largely influenced by Donald Trump, was not very good, and it wasn't very fun, and it didn't improve the course, and it just made it annoying. And so they all kind of decided, well, if we're going to get $14 to $16 million from these Mexican guys to go send it over to DF, you know, the District Federal in Mexico, then let's go do it, and we'll figure out the rest. Because we're going to get big money, and this event's now going to be an $11 million purse or God knows what. So Finchem went for the money. It's his job. His job is to create two things, playing opportunities and money-making opportunities for his players. He's doing that, okay? So you can get over that. You can't be mad that it's in Mexico. Not that the people listening to the show are actually smart, would think that. But you shouldn't be mad that this event is going to Mexico. It has nothing to do with Trump, his wall, whatever he's proposing about that, which is asinine, but nonetheless. This is money. This is all it is. And you can kind of get that sense that money is important in light of something that happened earlier this week, namely yesterday, when the PGA Tour announced that Shell Oil is going to back out of sponsorship, title sponsorship of the Houston Open after next year's event. So after 26 years, Shell's backing away from Houston and hosting this event. It was the second longest continuous sponsorship on the PGA Tour behind AT&T at Pebble Beach, and Honda was right there with the Honda Classic. Those three were kind of the longest running sponsors on the PGA Tour. Now Shell walks away, and Shell's walking away because of challenges in the energy industry right now, namely in the oil industry. You can kind of get the sense that things are changing in this country, that we're getting away from oil. We're moving towards natural gas. There's a lot of it in this country. No matter what you feel about fracking, I am against it, but we are fracking and getting natural gas. There are a lot of oil deposits in this country, or in this continent, for that matter, based on what's going on in Canada, no matter how bad that is for the environment. That's happening. There's more offshore drilling in this country. So there is a more wealthy supply of oil, but there's also less of a demand for oil. And with less of a demand for oil, the oil price goes down. That means that's less that Shell makes. And it's not like Shell has a huge footprint in alternative energy sources. They don't do a lot of solar. They don't do a lot of wind. They don't do a lot of geothermal. They don't do a lot of those things. It's not their primary business. So they're making less money. Why would they spend that money on continuing on as the title sponsor in Houston, knowing, again, that the PGA Tour is going to ask for more money as part of the next deal? It's just not something that makes sense for them anymore. So I get it. But I think that there is a looming problem here for the PGA Tour, and that is a day of reckoning. It's coming, because all of the things that really the businesses, the commerce, those things that excited, you know, those business types that got excited about sponsoring golf, they're becoming less prominent in this country. Think about American automobile manufacturing. What other American automobile manufacturer wants to sponsor golf now? Hyundai does it. And Hyundai does it because they're moving sponsorship from Hawaii to Los Angeles, into Orange County, where they're based. So it's an opportunity for them to put a stamp there in their own hometown. And that makes a lot of sense. But who else is there? I mean, Buick is obviously a General Motors company, so is Cadillac. They're out, so Cadillac's done with that. Chevrolet's not doing it. Ford's not doing it. So, you know, you got BMW. You got Mercedes-Benz, who are very active in golf. They're luxury car makers. You got Lexus involved in golf, luxury car maker. They're still involved. So that, okay, that's fine. But then you've got these oil companies. They're kind of, you got some bankers. It's not exactly an appealing sponsorship right now. And it's especially not appealing when the PGA Tour continues to ask for more and more money. It's the value is just not there. And that's why companies are getting away from this. At some point, there's going to be a bubble that bursts. We're building the bubble. We're almost at the bubble. But we haven't burst it yet. Tim Fincham still has some time as commissioner of the PGA Tour. He's going to try and get a title sponsor probably in to face, to replace Houston. Obviously, he'll shore up things with the WGC. There's also this rumor out there that he's going to try to basically get out of, weasel out of the television contract that it has right now with Golf Channel to either create their own network, to either buy a part of Golf Channel or renegotiate the deal in some way so that it gets the PGA Tour more money now, primarily because the PGA Tour didn't sign a long enough term agreement with Golf Channel, its broadcast partners, where they have a deal through 2021. You can't get out of it on the network side, or excuse me, you can't get out of it on the Golf Channel side. You can get out of it with the networks. But that deal could have and should have probably gone well longer into the future. 2025, 2027 is really more realistic, given what was happening in the sports sponsorship and presentation, sports rights realm around that time, where companies were, media companies, ESPN namely, driving up the cost of sports rights, basically to lock out the likes of NBC Sports and CBS Sports and Fox Sports, give them the big FU, drive up the price because they had the money to be able to spend, and they would just pass it along to the millions of people that subscribe, and the 90 million people that get ESPN every month or whatever it is, and what are you going to do? You like ESPN. You're going to pay for it. So they drove up the cost. The PGA Tour didn't do that in chasing a deal with Golf Channel, and they didn't do that in chasing a deal with its broadcast partners. They said, okay, well, we want an increase, but they didn't make it so dramatic that it seemed outrageous, and that it was so long-term that it was outrageous. And they should have, because the bubble has burst. It is bursting in sports rights. You're not getting as much money for your college sports packages anymore. The NBA is going to be up in a few years. The NFL is going to be up in a few years. You know, we're looking a handful of years away from those rights going up again, and they're not going to be worth the same. We're going to come down off of those values because of several factors. You have fewer people who subscribe to cable every month each and every month. People are cutting the cord, and they're either just dropping cable television altogether in favor of something like Netflix to watch some series or to binge watch, or they're getting a device like an Apple TV, or they're signing up with something that's an internet-based cable, basically a cable alternative. And we're going to see more and more of those starting next year. There'll be more companies that are effectively cable companies on the internet. That's going to change the way that people consume content. They're going to have smaller packages. It'll be a little bit more a la carte. It'll be difficult to have these big hawking packages where every single person who subscribes pays $6, $7, $8 a month for the ESPN family of channels. And that's going to happen to have an impact on other sports networks. It's going to impact, as the others, NBC, CBS, Fox Sports, that impact is there. It's going to impact your regional sports networks a lot because you're just not going to be interested in paying $4 a month to watch a couple of games if you don't watch your local team a lot. But if you are a lover of your local sports teams and you're a real homer, then you are going to pay to have that internet package. So that's fine. But then Golf Channel is in, I think it's 90 million homes. It's a lot of homes because it's owned by Comcast and they just shove it on there and you pay for it. There's nothing you can do about it. But as more and more people get away from Comcast and more people realize that they don't need some of these channels, a lot of these channels that they don't watch, then Golf Channel's numbers are going to go down. There are going to be fewer people who have it in their home or are paying for it. The viewership is not going to change, I don't suspect, largely because the people who want to watch Golf Channel, they're watching Golf Channel. They've got it. So they're going to keep it no matter what they do, whether or not they stick with cable or not. If you're a golf fan, you're watching Golf Channel. But there really is never more than a million people. I mean, there are times when that's not the case. But never really more than a million people, 2 million people maybe, watching Golf Channel at any one time, at its biggest moment. And since that's the case, that means 80 million, whatever number of homes are paying for Golf Channel that aren't using it. Once that number starts to dissipate, and it will quickly, that whatever number of cents, maybe a dollar you're paying a month to Comcast for Golf Channel, it's out the window. It's gone. That monthly revenue that's guaranteed to them is gone, or at least dramatically reduced. And when that happens, that means Golf Channel has to find another way to pay its rights to the PGA Tour. Now, fortunately, they have a pretty sweetheart deal. So they don't have to pay as much as maybe they should have had to pay, given the market conditions. But they're still not going to make the same amount of money. And that means there's going to be some serious problems for Golf Channel. And this is in, like, next week. This is, like, in 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And that problem is primarily going to be the dual income system is going to kind of go away. You're still going to get your income from advertising and things like that. Online, TV, all of your forms. You've got your GolfNow ownership, which makes you a lot of money. It's the cash cow for Golf Channel. Got that. That's fine. But then you're going to lose a big chunk of that, and that's the bigger chunk of that dual stream income, that money that you get from people for paying to have Golf Channel on their cable system. That's going to go away in a dramatic fashion. And so Golf Channel is still going to be expected, if the deal stays in place, to produce high-quality golf broadcasts. They're going to do it for all five major tours. They do it for the LET now. They do it for the NCAA. The NCAA paid them for the golf championships, by the way. But nonetheless. And so, you know, the deal was for going into cable. Okay, well, we'll have these dual income streams, which ESPN invented, and it'll work great because no matter what happens in advertising, people will pay for the service. Well, that's changed, and it's changing. And so the PGA Tour smartly recognizes this. I don't think that they were blindsided by what happened in Houston. I don't think they were blindsided by what happened in Miami. I think they're realizing that the market is starting to turn against them, and they've got to lock in these long-term contracts now. That's why there's this movement potentially toward creating a PGA Tour channel. That's why the PGA Tour created PGA Tour Live. They created that thinking ahead, knowing that people were cutting the cord, and that eventually cable TV would be a commodity that a lot of people would simply not be interested in. So they wanted to connect with fans who are younger, who are thinking about cutting the cord, who are ready to roll now and say, okay, well, we'll get you used to this concept of watching your golf on PGA Tour Live. And eventually, if it all works out, we'll just take over all the rights, we'll make the money ourselves. Not only will we get the advertising money directly, we don't have to get a cut from other people. We don't have to give a cut to the broadcast partners. We'll keep that. And we'll keep all of the money that comes from the title sponsors. And we'll keep the money that comes from the tickets. And we'll keep the money. You know, you increase your streams of revenue. You're becoming the cable channel, kind of like the NFL Network and and NBA TV and MLB Network. All these channels are doing and have done for a number of years. PGA Tour is going to take it a step further, potentially, and say, okay, well, we may lose some money up front, but in the long term, we're going to be well ahead of the curve to have our own channel, our own digital presence, our own subscription fee, which is way more per month than what the average person pays to have Golf Channel, but not dramatically so that they can't make money. I mean, it's like, what, $7 a month now? It's a great service. So if you get, let's say, 2 million people who subscribe to PGA Tour Network, at 2 million people, $7 a month, probably go to 10, it's $20 million a month. Over the course of a year, it's what, $240 million. It's not bad. Really, it's not. And I don't know that it's all that different than what they would be getting from a rights fee from Golf Channel. So with that money, they can still do their regular PGA Tour broadcasts. They could have digital channels for PGA Tour champions, for the LPGA Tour, which now they have an unofficial partnering, you know, an official partnership, but not an unofficial ownership thing. There's no ownership changing. But they've got a deal in place to work together. Broadcast the LPGA there, give the LPGA a little cut of that. You've got your web.com tour. You've got Latino America. You've got China. You've got Canada. You've got more than 24 hours worth of content every day. It's easy. So they've got a programming grid. They've got a TV studio. They're in Ponte Vedra Beach. Don't have to worry about that. They have sponsorship because people are title sponsors, presenting sponsors. You can up the value of those sponsorships by saying, oh, well, we'll just show your commercial on our network. And the PGA Tour comes out even. It's not bad. And if they get a piece of Golf Channel while they're at it, oh, we'll take 30% of Golf Channel and we'll cash in on some revenues now. And as cable goes down the tubes, we'll offload that thing back to Comcast. They'll have to shut everything down. And in 15 years, you know, cable will be completely different. And this is how the world's going to work. This is what Fincham is thinking in his head. I don't know if it's exactly like that because I obviously am not mind-melding with the guy. But it's darn close to that. And it's smart. And that is all tied to the sponsorship issue. It's all tied to the issue that people are walking away from cable, that people are walking away from doing things in person, that people are walking away from expensive things that don't make any sense for them anymore. And the PGA Tour is going to try and consolidate everything that it can so that it influences as much as it can and gets as much money from as many sources as humanly possible to save itself and grow itself for the future. Boom, it's done. That's where we're going. Get on board. Okay? Great. So this move to go to the money, they're trying to get the last bastions of that money that they can easily get for people to overpay for things because they're not going to be able to do that forever. So there's going to be this interim period where they figure out to finish out the TV deal with Golf Channel. That's like 5 years. And then to load up their digital-only venture, whatever it's going to be, whatever that thing is they're planning around now that they're trying to get to. And so they need some gaps. They've got some places on the schedule that don't have long-term deals into the 2020s. So they need those long-term deals to come into play. So they'll get someone in Houston. It's not going to be anything crazy. They're not going to pay $10 million. They're going to pay $8 million. It's going to be a regular good event that's going to continue to go play at Golf Club of Houston, and ultimately the event will not be affected that much. But this is where the business of it all is going. And so if you see things through that lens, a lot of things make sense. You shouldn't be necessarily scared if you're a PGA Tour fan, like, oh, it's all going to come crumbling down. Golf's still going to be there. That's not a problem. If you look at the LPGA right now, the LPGA is a better investment for a title sponsor. Because while the audience may not be the same size, the treatment is better. They get more play on site. They get more from the players. They just get more. Incredible value to sponsor the LPGA. The PGA Tour isn't a bad value. I mean, in some cases it is. Paying $16 million to have an event is preposterous. But a lot of the money goes to purse. And purses need to be higher and higher and higher and higher. And that's what's killing the European Tour, because their flagship event is the BMW PGA, and it had basically a $5.2 some odd million purse with the Euro. And their flagship event was $1.5 million less than the competing event that week at Colonial. That's bonkers. And that's what's killing the European Tour. Because the business community is not the same in Europe to say, all right, well, we'll just throw $8 million at it and we'll have a golf tournament and we'll smoke on pipes all day. You know, that's just not the way that it is. So part of that is also an arms race. They're not trying to bury the European Tour, but I don't think that the PGA Tour would be all that concerned if the European Tour didn't exist or it didn't exist the way that it does now. So there's a lot of competing influences going on. There are a lot of competing problems that Tim Fincham is trying to resolve as best he can for Jay Monahan before he walks out that door. And I think at a certain point, there's only going to be so many things that Fincham can deal with and move on to Monahan's plate before he gets out the way. It'll be interesting to see how this all winds up and whether it's even all settled before Fincham is done. I don't know that that's necessarily going to be the case either. But I think I am 99% sure that Fincham will have his plan in place and in motion before he walks away. All right, let's talk briefly about Tiger Woods not playing the U.S. Open, not playing the Quicken Loans National. Is anybody surprised? You can't be. The guy, the last time we saw the guy, basically a month ago, next week, he couldn't hit a golf ball 103 yards on command, which I think any of us, me talking, you listening, could hit at least the green once from 103 yards on command. And if that's what we're capable of doing and that's where Tiger's at, then how on earth was he going to play the U.S. Open? And for all the folks who are out there, the true believers, the internet weirdos who are like, oh, I've got a source that's telling me Tiger's going to play Memorial, or he's going to play the Players, or he's going to play the U.S. Open, or he's going to play this or that, this finally killed their phoniness. If the other stuff didn't, this sure did. The reality is, Tiger is not ready to play. That doesn't mean ever. That means now. That also means he's considering it, which means he's thinking about it each and every time it comes up. Hey, I usually play this tournament. Am I ready? Not sure. And the question is he physically ready? I think he's mostly physically ready. I mean, the swings that he took at Congressional for the media day for Quicken Loans National, they were decent swings. I mean, they weren't terrible swings. The question was, is he feel a sense of fear as he tries to hit the ball? And I think he kind of does. You can kind of see him flinch just a little bit at impact, like it's going to hurt his back when he makes the impact. And it will. It's going to sometimes. And so I wonder if he's not mentally ready. Say, okay, well, I've got to grind through the pain. It's going to hurt a little bit. The first 18 is really going to hurt. The next 18 will hopefully hurt less, not more. And if I make the cut, I've got to do 36 more. That might not necessarily be all that much fun, but I got to try. And, all the while you got to figure out, am I going to blow up my back if I get a weird lie? Is it worth it? Because if I have to go into that operating table again, I might not walk again. Yeah, that reality is out there. A guy cut open 3 times in the same spot in his back. They're not going to do that again. What if it's a different spot in his back? Holy crap, now his back's messed up in 2 spots. There's a lot running through that guy's head, and rightfully so. He should be considering a lot of things right now about his future. That doesn't mean he's going to play next week. Obviously not. Doesn't mean he's going to play in 2 weeks. Obviously not. But it could mean that he plays sometime this summer, and he's going to give it a try at some point. I really do believe that. I don't think he's just going to keep teasing us for a year, 2, 3, or 4, and then be like, well, hasn't happened at this point. I guess we're going to retire. He's going to try this year. I really believe that. In this calendar year, he is going to try. And if it fails, then maybe that's the end. If it's pretty good, maybe he'll keep trying. Maybe he'll settle somewhere where he's more or less ceremonial, where he can go play 3 majors a year guaranteed and get some special exemptions into the U.S. Open and play a couple other events and that be it. Maybe that's what he's going to do. Maybe he'll settle on just a kind of as-I-feel-good schedule where he plays only a handful of times a year and you just never know when it's going to happen. Hey, Tiger's playing great. Who knows? But I don't think that his announcement should portend the immediate end. He's going to give it an honest effort. I really feel that. And if he doesn't, I would be shocked. But will I be shocked if in 12 months, 18 months from now, he realizes that this is a fool's errand and that he's got nothing left to prove to anybody, and he wants to be upright and hang out with his kids and not be confined to a hospital bed for six more months or a wheelchair or more dangerous rehab. No, wouldn't be surprised. But he's going to go through the process. He's always talked about the process. He's going to go through it and see it to the end. That'll do it for us this week on the show. Next week, we will be live at Oakmont Country Club for the 2016 U.S. Open. Team GNN, all four of us will be there in the Pittsburgh area for you for the week. We are very, very excited about that. We are aiming to do a daily podcast from Oakmont. So starting on Monday, we're hoping to have a daily show for you. It may not necessarily be this 30-minute show every day. It might be 20 minutes, might be 15 minutes, but we'll have something for you every day to listen from Oakmont, and it won't just be sound from news conferences. You can watch that on Golf Channel if you still have cable, right? So we're very excited about that. Check us out on GNN Radio as well. We're going to do live broadcasts after each and every round, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It'll be me and Will Haskett, who's contributed to the site. He's been on PGA Tour Radio. He's a great sportscaster. We're really lucky to have him as our host and MC for the week for our live shows from Oakmont. Be sure to download the GNN app. It's turned out really well. I'm really happy with it. You can listen to our podcasts, GNN Radio Live. You can read all of our stories, watch all of our videos, do all the stuff that we do with GNN. You can see it through our app, and it's a great, fast experience. We don't have any ads on there right now. We'll eventually add some ads, but it won't be crazy, and we're very excited about it. So please check it out. Let us know your thoughts on that. Also, if you listen to our show via podcast, iTunes podcast, please give us a 5-star review. A couple of you have in recent weeks, and we love you for it. We're very appreciative. You don't have to write a review. Just hit 5 stars. That's good enough for me. So we'd love to see that. We greatly appreciate it. Of course, you can always send me your thoughts and questions over on Twitter at Ryan Balogi. Email ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com if you prefer to keep it private. So until next week, from the site of the 2016 U.S. Open, it is here, guys. I'm so excited. I'm Ryan Balogi saying we'll see you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.